Let's get ready to rumble!
Senior Nation Jam Pack Show today.
Yo, what is going on, everybody? Happy Monday! Woo! We are back at it. Another day, another week, another dollar to make. I am joined by Spencer Israel. But what is going on, guys? This is the Power Hour. This is the Trade Idea Show. We're spending these 60 minutes together every single day because we want to get the idea flow going. Mm-hmm. Spencer, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm well. I'm doing better than the Detroit Lions are, and that's all you can ask for. And I'm in a good mood. It's Monday. It's a big week for us at Benzinga. We got a lot of stuff that I want to shamelessly, not so shamelessly plug. But we'll get to all that.
Plug it now, and then let's get to Rippy stocks.
Plug it now. Oh my!
We're only doing Rippy stocks today.
Only doing Rippy stocks. All right. Yep. All right. So much to plug. Okay, let's start with this tomorrow. All access event. Myself and me and I are going to be talking alternative investments. We talk about stocks. We talk about crypto. But we don't talk enough about all the other assets you can have in your portfolio, whether it's real estate, whether it's venture capital. We have a show tomorrow dedicated to alternative investments and how you can get exposure to the, not necessarily that you need to, but that you should consider getting exposure to in some way, shape, or form. So you don't just own, like, have all your money in like the same five meme stocks or BBIG or whatever. So that'll be tomorrow from 10 to noon. I'm excited for that. I also want to plug our next small cap conference, the small cap healthcare conference, which is in 2 days. It's Wednesday and Thursday. You can go to bzsmallcap.com to learn more about that. There's a screen is up on there. So bzsmallcap.com, 2 day conference, Wednesday, Thursday, all day, 9 to 5. I'll be co-hosting that as well. What else did I want to plug? I wanted to plug... Oh,
Rippy stocks.
Okay, last thing I want to plug. And then
Rippy stocks?
Then Rippy stocks, okay? For the very first time, Benzinga has partnered with Moomoo.
This is a good one.
We are sponsoring a paper trading competition with Moomoo. I'm going to put there it is up on the screen, okay? So here's what you got to do to play ball. You open a brokerage account. Whoa, that was weird. Rohan, come on, man. Why do I sound weird?
You sound fine to me, Spencer. Okay.
You open a brokerage account through Moomoo. The link is in the description below, okay? You fund your account with $500, and then you're eligible to participate. Well, why would I participate? What would I win? Great question. First place winner in this contest gets 24 shares of NVIDIA, NVDA, for free. 24 free shares.
All right, hold on. I'm doing the math on that. 24 times 215, 15, $215 and 15 cents. Five Gs.
Yeah. Okay. Second place gets 12 shares of NVIDIA for free. So it's $2,500. About
okay,
right. Third place gets 4 shares of NVIDIA, and fourth place, everyone who finishes between 4th and 100 gets 1 share of this other one, PDCO. I don't know why they went random with that one. They went NVIDIA, PDCO, but everyone who finishes from 4th to 100 gets PDCO, 1 share of that for free. So here's what you got to do. You click on the link in the description of this video. You open an account with Moomoo, you fund it with $500, and then you too can play ball and win, if you're the best paper trading winner, 24 shares of NVIDIA for free.
All right, and if you don't know what Moomoo is, I'll pull up this Futu, FUTU.
Yep.
You might know the ticker. This is actually a Jonah Lupton favorite. But this is the holding company. It's like a Robin Hood of China type play. And then Moomoo is their break into the U.S. I will be joining the trading competition. So good luck.
I will too. And we only have...
Link is in the chat.
Yeah, the link is in chat. It's in the description. We only have like a week or... It says you have to join by the 15th of October. So we have three weeks to join. So there we go. So I wanted to plug that. I wanted to plug, that's what it says right there. I wanted to plug that. I wanted to plug our event. I wanted to plug our all access event tomorrow. And now I'm done plugging. And now
we're getting to Rippy stocks. And I added a couple out of the chat, Spencer. We're going to do Baba today too.
Does Moomoo have crypto? Yes, I believe so, Caleb. Okay. Rippy stocks. Let's go. What's
first? All right. First up on the list, guys. And if you have symbols, drop them in the chat. We're diving straight in. We're going to try to do 5 stocks, 15 minutes, 3 minutes apiece. Naked brand sticker, NAKD, November Alpha, Kilo Delta. Here is the look at the daily charts. Daily looks decent. We zoom it in to the minute charts. First time of the day, we're starting to see a little bit of trouble over these past few minutes. Spencer, any takes there? I have an opinion.
Yeah, I have an embarrassing confession to make. Until about a minute ago, because I've heard of Naked Brands before, and I've heard of, like, I've obviously heard of the stock because it's a high flyer. But until a minute ago, I honestly thought that this was the company that made Naked Juice. And that's wrong.
That is absolutely incorrect.
That is wrong. But I thought this was Naked. Naked Brands.
Nope. That would be a negative.
This entire time, this thing got to, you know, this thing went to 350 or 340 back in January.
Go to their real website, Spencer.
What nakedbrands.com?
I don't know. Try it.
Sure. Yeah, this is it. Okay. So for 9 months, I thought Naked was the juice company. They make those really strong fruity vegetable drinks.
Nope, that would be a negative.
That was wrong. Okay, that shows you what I know. Anyway, Naked Brands, this is their actual website. So let's go to the chart.
All right. So back to the chart, Spencer.
Yeah.
Here, let me take back over.
Okay.
All right. Here's the daily candles, okay? Yeah. We're above this previous high that we had in there, okay? We broke above that today. We got directed below we got rejected below that on Friday. Next previous high we're looking out for is all the way up at a buck. I am long and strong Naked right now. My opinion is that if we can buck this downtrend that we've seen between when the show started and right now, we're in a decent position to keep running. This is definitely one of those stocks that gets memey, it gets rippy. Look at this, right? We saw that hop earlier this year from like 20 cents up to $3.50. Does it get there? I would be skeptical. But if the momentum continues today, I think a dollar is absolutely in sight.
From a pure technical basis, yeah, a dollar. But a dollar is also like so.
Not pure technical. No, energy too, baby. Naked Brand says energy power. You were just on the website.
I'm just saying, like, a dollar is like so psychologically significant that I would just say if I wanted to, I don't even know if you can short the stock, but if you want to short it and you could. You wouldn't wait till a dollar. You would go at like, I'm sure there's a lot of people at like 99 cents. This is all I'm saying.
Sure. Yeah. Call it 95. I'll take it.
Okay. 95. Whatever. So
long and strong. I'm letting it rip today. Again, but between when this show started and now, it was the first sign of trouble that we've run into today, right? These are the minute candles.
Yeah.
And we had a couple decent sized red bars, but we'll see.
We're at 80 cents right now. We got to 80, almost 83 cents. That was the high of the day. So,
there's one.
There's one.
5 stocks, 15 minutes.
Naked
Brands. You want me to call it or you want to pick next?
BBIG.
All right. Next rippy stock of the day. Ticker BBIG, Vinco Ventures. Spencer, you talked to the CEO or chairman of the company. I don't remember which.
So did you.
Okay. Remind us what the company does.
It's a TikTok
competitor. That's right. It is TikTok of India.
Yeah.
India and other geographies.
Yeah.
Right now, we're looking at daily candles. Obviously, a ton of volatility over the past couple of weeks. Today, the stock is back in action, up 16%. No news out on it. I'm curious, where is everybody at with BBIG? If you like the stock right now, drop the 1 in the chat. If not, drop the 2. And even for let's just play imagination, okay? It's Monday. We got to wake up our fingers a little bit. Even if you're not taking a position one way or another. 1 in the chat if you would buy it here. 2 if you would sell it here. I'm curious where everybody is at.
Two Spencer, for Spencer.
Do you have an opinion?
Two for Spencer. I would sell it here.
Two. I'm also a seller here. And I'll back it up. Trend is your friend. We're in a downward trend for the past couple of weeks. The candle for today just moved red, which means the stock is trading below where it opened. Still obviously above where it closed on Friday, but we're now back below where it opened. We have the downward momentum. We have the red candle today. We have no news that came out to justify the pop that took place today. And so I'm also going with the two.
Yeah.
I would be against it if I had to pick one way or another.
Important number on this is $8, right? That was the high that we got to at 5:30 this morning. We got $8. So we're further off than it looks. If you're ignoring the pre-market session, you're missing the high of the day. $8 there. So I would sell BBIG here, and I would, yeah, this is not my style. This is your style. This is not my style.
Oh, I love these types of stocks.
I know you do.
Nate, so we're doing rippy stocks today, all right? We did two. Nate, right. I like BBIG, I don't. All right? I could be wrong on them, but that's the way that I'm playing it today. Right. And chat is pretty divided on this one. We have just about as many ones as we do twos. Again, one was people like it. Two was people don't.
What about Celsius?
All right, let's look at Celsius next, and then we're going to get to Baba in a second here. Celsius, I'm also long and strong Celsius. If you don't know this one, it's like an alternative energy drink maker. It's like basically slightly healthier energy drinks, but I'm sure still not great for you. All the fundamentals continue to be strong except for the valuation ratios on this one. And what I mean by that is that sales are still flying off the shelves. The company still has inventory problems because demand has been so high. The stock is very, very expensive. It's trading in the teens of price to sales versus maybe like a 4.5 times ratio on average for the S&P 500. That said, the sales growth, I think, will keep the momentum alive. So I have been long and strong Celsius from the 70s.
Wow.
It's a good
trade. So do you have a plan here, or are you just riding the wave?
I'm riding the wave, baby.
All right.
If momentum cracks, then we'll hop out of it. What
does that mean, if momentum cracks?
If we get so today we're off 5%. That's a painful day. It's the biggest loser in my portfolio. It was a position. It was a big position, that one of the largest positions that I put on. It grew to be larger. We're off 5% today. The portfolio is definitely bleeding from that one. Still green today, thank goodness. Yeah. But this is the biggest hit to the portfolio of the day. If we get another red candle like this tomorrow, that's when I'll start rotating out of it.
Really?
Yep.
So all it'll take is like another.
Another 5% day, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. If we have a 1% day, okay, maybe the tide is turning. But if it's another day of red and we're down off another 5%, yeah. Then yeah, I'll bomb out of it.
Wow. Okay. Short short trigger finger. I like it. Because you've got a big winner here.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's been several weeks. We wrote it from 70 to 95 right now.
Great freaking trade.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so now he's going to wait, you know, we're at 94. So let's say if Luke wakes up tomorrow and Celsius is at 90, he's done.
And here's what I'll say, too. Obviously, we can't predict too far into the future.
Yeah.
But this is a stock that I will absolutely look at to trade into earnings again. So next earnings date is scheduled for 11/11. Make a wish, Spencer.
Whoa. Yep. And here's a question.
But it's one that, again, I'm not saying that I would hit it long back into earnings, but it's one that I will absolutely look at long back into earnings. Because again, the story is the fundamental one. The stock has the momentum right now. Check out the sales growth on this one, Spencer. So this is quarterly revenue. Over the past year,
it
went from $30 million of sales to $65 million of sales.
Time out. Wait, what is the market cap here? $7 billion?
I said that all the fundamentals are great except for the ratios, okay?
$7 billion for a company that made $60 million with an M.
A quarter.
All right. Here's my question. Are they going to come out and blame supply chain woes?
Yeah, but they already have.
Oh, yes. They did? Okay.
Yes. Revenue will still be good. They'll still blame supply chain, and then they'll beat and raise again. That's all they do. They just beat and raise.
Okay. Fine.
Quarter after quarter after quarter.
Oh man, you know what? Look, who am I to poo-poo this? You've ridden the wave. Great trade.
That's all I do, baby. I just ride waves.
Valuation means like nothing. Naked brands. Valuation means nothing when you're up in your position. When you're down, it means everything. But when you're up, it means nothing. So great job, man. Great job.
All right. Five stocks, 15 minutes. Next up on the shot clock, and put up Baba.
Yeah, this Alibaba thing I can understand why you would look at this, why anyone would look at this and say, oh, how can I not take a flyer, right? It got to 144 this morning. I can understand the temptation for a stock that was basically $300 a year ago. It was $300.
I'm going to zoom us way out, Spencer. So now we're looking at a five-year chart with, I believe, monthly candles. Yes, these are monthly candles.
I know. Brutal. It's brutal. If you want to take a flyer, I guess I would say if you do whatever you want. But
the way to take the flyer on this one is with long-dated calls, in my opinion. We looked at them briefly last week. I didn't take any action on it. But basically, I think it was the 170 calls that were about a year and 3 months out, 15 months out, or something like $13. So it's definitely on my keep an eye on it list. I think if you want to take a flyer, it's a pretty capital efficient way to do it.
That's probably the most efficient way to do it is leaps, because you know you have a defined risk and it's efficient use of capital, and you're not married to the next few months or because this thing who knows where it's gonna stop. But I don't know. Like, part of me wants to, and part of me doesn't. I'm hands off for now. But does it look like a snack, as Neil would say, right at 148 here?
Do it, Spence.
I'm not going to do it. But there's a part of me that absolutely wants to buy this stock, or I'll buy some long dated calls or whatever.
All right, and shout out to Thinking About It in the chat. He sold Baba puts for 120 expiring this Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's a decent trade. It can't be a highly lucrative trade.
So
but basically, as long as Baba's at 120 or above by Friday. Well,
so he sold the puts. So it's 120. No, not 120, because it's whatever he pocketed from the sale, right? So
yeah, but let's say it's a dollar. It's not going to be much.
No, all right. You're right.
All right, if anybody else has any action on Baba, put your trade in the chat. Long, short, options. I want to see where that's at.
Yeah. Look, you guys know I owned all these Chinese internet stocks for years, and then I sold via the one ETF, and I sold that, and I'm out. And
all right, Spencer, five stocks, 15 right, minutes. We have one more on the list.
One more. And then we have to bring on our guest, our first guest, the one on your list.
GGPI.
All right, we have a new SPAC deal, guys.
New SPAC deal, 1 year chart, daily candles. This was a pre-announced SPAC. It is now announced a deal. I know that we're coming off a SPAC's attack, but this one we have a little bit of a. Experience right. With it. A company called Polestar, which is Volvo's electric vehicles company. It's been funding.
You test drove this car, did you not?
I drove the shit out of this car, I would say, Spencer.
That's the technical term.
Yes, we got one of these vehicles at Benzinga. Again, fully electric cars. It's the company that Volvo has been funding, and it was a pretty awesome ride. You know, the styling I didn't think was like very impressive or interesting, like we see out of a lot of these new EV companies. But the drive was incredibly smooth, the car was incredibly fast, and the interior was great, amazingly comfortable. So I was a big fan of the drive experience on the Polestar.
Okay, I wouldn't know, I wasn't invited, but it looks amazing. I'll say that it looks nice. And
this thing was fast, Spencer. I didn't even have the fast version. All these electric cars are so fast.
The only thing, like, you know what's wild here is, like, okay, an EV SPAC deal, that's so in an EV SPAC deal in September. That is so 2020. That's like, you know what I mean?
That's so lucid of them.
These guys are like a year late, aren't they? No.
Yep. Yes. So here's my take on the trade. If I had to pick one way or another, and I may get into this one later today, I would pick it long. Again, I think it's one of those names that the vehicle is interesting to look at. It's headline grabbing. They are starting to get out onto the roads, at least in a test capacity. So a little bit further along than Lucid is, I believe. But if I had to pick this one for a swing trade one way or another, I would definitely pick it long.
Wow. All right. I was surprised to see this today. I thought we were done with the EV specs, but
I thought we were done with the EV
specs. I guess we're not. All right, Luke, we're running a little bit late here. We got to bring on our first guest, all right?
All right, let's do it, Spence.
All right, Dr. Adam Kaplan, who has forgotten more about science than you and I will ever even know. He's a PhD. He's also the chief scientific officer of MyMD Pharmaceuticals. Here we go. Dr. Kaplan, good morning, sir.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Oh, no, you're on mute. Check that mute button on the bottom there.
Thank you. It's always the technical things that are difficult.
Always the technical things that are tricky. Adam Kaplan, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, and how are you, Spencer? It's a beautiful day. We finally have our fall days here in Baltimore, so we're enjoying ourselves.
Nice. I have a soft spot for Baltimore. I went to the University of Maryland, and so I have a soft spot for Baltimore and that state. Adam, let's talk about MyMD for a second. Thank you to whoever put the ticker up on the screen there. That wasn't me. For those who don't know, tell us about MyMD, what you're working on.
Well, we're working on two main drugs under development. One is MyMD1 and the other is Supira CBD. MyMD1 is looking to be a game changer in the area of treating autoimmune diseases and delaying aging. And Supira CBD is, as the name implies, a super new form of CBD.
Explain that, a super new form of CBD?
Yeah, so essentially it's not a huge change to the molecule. It takes one of the 6-member rings and turns it into a 5-member ring. More details than you would possibly want to know, but essentially the outcome of that is that not only so first of all, you have to understand there's two binding sites that we all have within our bodies and our brains and the immune system for any cannabinoid, meaning THC, any marijuana based drug. One is CB1, the other is CB2. CB1 is what gets you the intoxication, the high from THC and marijuana. CB2, though, is a really unique receptor that is the brake of the immune system and has very potent anti-inflammatory effects and the ability to help preserve neurons and preserve the brain under attack. So what's really unique is we first found that Supira CBD bound 4 times more tightly to the CB2 receptor, but binding isn't the key. The key is once bound, what does it do? And it turns out that Supira CBD, when it's bound to that CB2 receptor, the one that's on all the immune cells and in the brain under attack, either epilepsy and the like, is 8,000 times more potent at activating the CB2 receptor. So that's a huge difference. It really is a very potent drug at activating the brake for the immune system and preserving neuronal function in the brain.
So what exactly is going on here? You have two drugs in the pipeline. You have studies going. What is the status of those? Where are you in the regulatory process?
Yeah, so that's a great question. With Supira CBD, we are doing the preclinical studies. It's the newer kid on the block for us. And we are currently undergoing all of the regulatory toxicology studies and safety studies. We're about a year from being able to get that into humans. MyMD1 has already completed its phase 1 studies. And this year we plan to start 2 studies, one looking at aging and the other looking at COVID-19 to treat inflammation and to slow aging down.
All right. So we're still early days in this process.
For the Supira CBD, we're early days. For MyMD1, we're getting into phase two. So we're already looking at treatments for aging and COVID-19 in humans. This year, we're going to start two of those studies. So we're much further along. It's a molecule we've been working on much longer.
How long have you been working on it?
It has been roughly 4 years. I should tell you, I joined the company a year ago. So, I'm most familiar with the stuff that's happened since then, but it has been we've been working on it for 4 years. So we have the safety, the toxicology studies and all of those done.
And do you have, I guess you're getting into phase two right now. Do you have an idea of when that could start or even end the trial for that?
Yeah. So there's two trials. One is that COVID-19, it's obviously still going on. What's really dramatic about COVID-19 is that it's the inflammation that causes all the trouble. And so MyMD1 has both good effects on blocking inflammation and bringing it down and slowing aging. I'm happy to talk about a very exciting study that's under review right now out of a major academic institution. But so the first thing, the COVID-19, it turns out that inflammation has effects on the brain, including brain fog and depression. Post-COVID, these are very common. Up to 50% of people will have a post-COVID depression due to the inflammation and this brain fog that often goes along with it. So we are studying the ability of MyMD1 to treat that, and that will be a 6-week treatment trial. So because it's only 6 weeks, we should be able to get everybody enrolled this year and have the results in the first quarter of next year. The second study is on aging, and that study will be a 6-month trial. So if we started this year, it's going to be probably a fourth quarter of next year that we'll have the results.
All right, so we'll have two trial results, one in the first quarter, one probably around a year from now.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assessment.
That's a reasonable.
But can I tell you about the aging, the result out of this major academic institution? What's really remarkable is that currently the best treatment that has been seen in animals to extend the lifespan of animals in terms of a drug is rapamycin. So this study using MyMD was comparing MyMD to rapamycin and rapamycin plus metformin, but that we won't complicate things. And what happened, but you have to understand, finding a drug that can actually delay aging is so critical. So this study took mice that were the human equivalent of 60 years old and treated them until they were the human equivalent of 90. And essentially being on MyMD1 meant that you were 400% less likely to die if you're on the MyMD than if you were on the rapamycin. And that's a huge impact, highly statistically significant. And we think we're working towards an understanding of how this actually worked. The critical thing, Spencer, though, is it didn't just extend the lifespan. These mice retained their strength and their cognition. So it's not just a drug that could, if it works in humans like it works in mice, extend the human lifespan, it could slow aging. So it's not like we're all just going to get old and demented. We're all going to lead longer, more productive lives if it does in humans what it does in mice.
All right. Well, we'll know more regardless next year. Adam Kaplan is the chief scientific officer of MyMD, ticker MYMD. We'll know more from the one trial in Q1 and then the longer trial in Q4, hopefully, of next year. Adam, thanks a lot for coming on Power Hour today.
Thank you so much, Spencer. Always a pleasure to work with you and see you.
All right. I see AB, producer AB. Is he here? I just saw him. Producer AB, I see you lurking. While he's getting his stuff together, let's just do a real quick crypto update because there he is.
I heard my name.
Yeah. Hey,
how's it going?
Tell the people why you're late today.
So I was just at a press conference at the Detroit Golf Club for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. They were announcing that Rocket Mortgage is extending their sponsorship of the tournament through 2027. So some exciting news.
I just have one question. Will Phil Mickelson be the next one?
I don't think so. Based on last time, some Detroit writer did not make him happy.
Yes, yes. Anyway, wait, I just want to do a quick crypto update, then we'll go to our next guest because I see him here. Real fast, AB, did you buy the dip in crypto on Friday? Because I did not. I kind of I just didn't.
Spencer, so I'm in a couple fantasy football leagues where we're talking about – well, really just one where we're talking about, like, putting our pool for the league into crypto, and we were texting this weekend, like, oh, now would be a good time to throw it. You know, in a we want to throw it in something that really has a chance to like double in the next 6 months.
So, okay. Hey, yeah. However you figure that out, you let me know. Okay.
Got it. Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
Whether it's Solana, ETH, I don't know, BTC. Those are the three that I own. Cardano, I don't know. But here, let's just go to a chart for a second, and then we'll go to our guests. Yeah. So we had that sell off on Friday, and it happened, like, you can see there that we actually closed, you know, about halfway between the high and the low of the day in Bitcoin. So we kind of came back so fast that I feel like I missed my chance. So I didn't do anything. Basically, in summary, I did nothing on Friday. I thought about it, I talked about it, and I did nothing. Ethereum, same thing, right? Charts are identical. Thought about it, did nothing. I want to know if anyone bought more. I should have bought. I always regret not buying more. Every time I regret not buying more.
I think on some different brokerages now, you can set recurring buys. So, like, I don't think it would be dumb to set.
I should just dollar cost average. I don't know how. I don't know how to set it up, though. Maybe I
what brokerage are you using?
I'm using Voyager. Yeah, I'm using Coinbase. Is that bad?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure on Coinbase, I know Robinhood, they just like enabled recurring investments into crypto. So I'd imagine Coinbase, you can too, since obviously Coinbase is more crypto focused than Robinhood.
I don't know.
Is.
The only reason I use Coinbase is because I literally just like did any mini my name out. I was like that one. Like there's no special reason why I use it. It was a spontaneous thing. I didn't think about it. I didn't do any research. Didn't think about it at all. I just did it. Anyway, speaking of crypto and buying it, you can get $50 in Bitcoin for free. All you got to do is download the Voyager app, fund your account with $100, make your first trade, and use the offer code ZING. That's ZING. It's up on the screen. That will get you $50 in Bitcoin for free. The crypto updates that we do are brought to you by Voyager. I should probably switch off Coinbase. I have no allegiance to them at all. Maybe I should go to Voyager.
Yeah.
I don't know because I swear I don't know how to use that app at all. AB, it's 12:47 and we didn't get to any of your stocks today. I don't know what you have on your radar.
Yeah, I got a couple of things, Spencer. So first of all, you know, if you notice the title of this video, Stock Market Crash or New All-Time Highs, and you're wondering, you know, what's that about? So over the weekend, the real Kiyosaki, I hope I'm saying that right.
Oh, I saw this tweet. I saw this tweet.
On Twitter. He made big waves in the FinTwit community. So this is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a very popular book among investors. Full disclosure, I have not read it. Let me know in the chat if you think like, oh, AB, you must read this book. Or if you're like, oh, you've made it this far without reading it. You don't need to. You know, so anyway, he tweeted giant stock market crash coming October. Why Treasury and Fed short of T-bills, gold, silver, Bitcoin may crash too. Cash best for picking up bargains after crash, not selling gold, silver, Bitcoin yet have lots of cash for life after stock market crash. Stocks dangerous, careful. So this caught a lot of headwind among investors. You know, this guy Kiyosaki, he's known for kind of making some hot takes on Twitter regarding Bitcoin.
Yeah, I never met him. I don't know him. I've also never read his book. But I will say this. He has made these calls before. This is not the first time that he has come out and said.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Spencer, because I was just going to bring up this in the replies. And someone essentially like superimposed some of his tweets over the S&P 500. So dating back to 2011. You know, he's been calling for a crash like periodically. Actually here, let me try to zoom in a little bit so you guys can see. Spencer, I don't know if you can make this full screen. So
yeah, here.
This one in 2018, he retweeted an article, I guess, essentially saying that a biggest crash is coming. And to his credit, there was a strong dip kind of like directly after that, but nothing really of a crash. And the only time he was ever somewhat vindicated was here in the COVID crash, which, of course, had obvious factors playing into it other than just.
Wait. He said the crash is beginning on April 17th. It was already over.
Crash only beginning April 17th, and the markets from then, you know, went way higher than the previous levels before the COVID. So, you know, to say he's been wrong numerous times and calling this out would be kind of an understatement. Someone else on Twitter, you know, said if you listen to him, your returns would be 0% since 2012, because I guess 2012 was the first time he recommended kind of going all cash. So I don't know, Spencer. I mean, it's one of those things to me that guys like this that keep calling for a crash, eventually they'll say, hey, look, I was right. But it's like, yeah, but you were wrong for 10 plus years and you missed out on all these gains, you know, from the SPY. Yeah, Christian Gallagher in the chat saying he will be right eventually. I mean, yeah, if I keep saying, hey, the markets are going to be down every day, eventually I'll be right.
I mean, yeah, if you call for the world to end, one day the world's going to end. You're going to be right. It's just a question of, are you alive to see it? Probably. Yeah. Right.
So the title of this video, again, I made it stock market or new all-time high, stock market crash or new all-time high. Spencer, we've talked about this before. You and I are both on the side that we will see new all-time highs before the end of the year. That's not saying we're, you know, betting on, you know, whatever. We're just, if we had to pick, will there be new all-time highs or will there not be? We're on the side that we think there will be.
Well, so yeah, I have a bet on with Joel, and the bet is referring to the S&P 500 specifically, which I actually don't know how great I feel about that, because the more I look at the SPY or the S&P 500, the more I realize, not that I haven't known this, we've all known this obviously, but the SPY really is just, it's just six stocks, right? It's Fat Man, right? FATMAAN, right? It's Facebook, Apple, Tesla, Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, Netflix, right? Those, right? I got that right. Fat Man. Yeah. FATMAAN. Seven stocks. And whatever those seven stocks do is going to be whatever the S&P does. Let me go to etfdb.com. Let's do some quick math in our heads. All right. No, not in our heads. Yeah, in our heads. Okay. Let's add up these holdings. So Apple 6 plus 6, we'll call it 12. We'll call that 16. We'll call that 18. We'll call that 20. It's Alphabet's 4 because there's two share classes, but so call it 22, call it Tesla, we'll just call it 20. You want to call it 25 even? We'll call it 25 even. Actually, the N in Fat Man could be NVIDIA. We'll call it 25. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stocks are 25% of the S&P, give or take. It's not exact, obviously. And so it's whatever those six are going to do is whatever the SPY is going to do, basically, right? So a day like today where, like, you could say the market is up, there is way more green than there is red today. And yet the SPY is in the red because those six stocks are not. But if you look at the IWM, right, on a great day.
Wow, I'm looking at Tesla right now, up about 2.5%, almost at $800. I feel like Tesla has quietly, gotten back up to $800. Maybe a little bit absent with some of the attention that Tesla has gotten in its previous runs. Maybe because it's just been kind of a steady climb to 800 over the past, 4 months or so, as opposed to it being up, 10% every day or whatever. But I mean, the chart looks insanely good right now.
Congratulations, Herscom. Says he's having his best day all year. That's great. So anyway, to bring it full circle, I do have a bet on that says we'll get a new all-time high in the S&P by the end of the year. But it's really what it comes down to is whatever those six stocks do is what the S&P is going to do. So I'm going to try and wean myself off of the S&P. It's hard, though, to just use that as your gauge. But I'm still bullish.
You're saying you don't think it's an effective gauge because it's so heavily weighted among those.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this for months on pre-market prep, but it's hard to change your behavior. And I did like a year ago, I think I changed the weightings in my, this is like super, like, I don't know, not nerdy, you're not wonky, but this is just like, this is super boring. But I changed the weightings in my 401k to be 75%. I have two funds, a small cap and a large cap. And I made it to be 75% small cap, 25% large cap.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the thought process going into that?
Originally it was flipped. And then I realized, no, I want to flip it the other way. Small caps is historically outperform. And the large caps, it's like this, it's really not, it's not even large cap. It's like six mega caps. And I was like, I don't want these six stocks to determine.
So essentially, I mean, obviously, you know, you said small caps like historically tend to overperform, but I think over the last like 10, 15 years, the Apples, the Google, Facebook have just had ridiculous returns compared to the small caps. So you're saying essentially you're betting on that there will be kind of like a reversion to the mean, saying these small caps got to catch up with these big guys eventually.
Yeah. I mean, there is data. Hold on a second. I'm trying to find the page where my favorite thing.
I kind of agree because it's like, look, from 2000 to now, to 2021, for the past 21 years, the best investments have been, you know, Amazon, Apple, Google. And I think it's like time now that we start looking forward to the next, you know, what will be the best investments of the next 20 years.
Right.
Maybe it is still Apple, Google, whatever, but I think we might, you know, get some new, see, I just don't know what's like, what are the most like innovative companies out there right now, that are going to be more, that are going to be able to grow at the pace that Apple, Google, Microsoft
I don't know. So wait, when I say historically small caps outperform, I'm not referring to the last decade. The last decade, you guys know this, large caps dominate. Annual gain we'll call it 10%, which is round up, we'll call it 10%, right? Just 9.8% annualized gains, huge. Small caps are on 8.9%. But if you go back like 20, 30, 40, 50 years, small caps have the edge if you go back further. So I don't know the answer to your question, AB. But maybe it's the group of stocks that's been like that were like rallying like crazy and have been beaten down this year. Saw someone mention DocuSign. DocuSign's actually held up.
That stock's just so expensive. I feel like no. I don't know.
That's the problem. Is these stocks like you might love a Zoom or DocuSign or I don't know, a Roku or a Square, but they're just so.
Well, I think let's think about it this way. So, with the companies, the mega caps that have grown over the past 20 years so much, you know, whether we're talking Apple, Microsoft, Google, they were kind of in emerging markets in a way. So you think about it like Apple, like smartphones. When smartphones became popularized, Apple was in a position to put out the iPhone and become the most popular smartphone. So yeah. I think if we look at like what markets do we expect to continue to grow? So, you know, we've seen it with EVs where like a lot of these EV companies, like you said, just got super expensive and then now are getting beaten down. I think there will be kind of winners and losers out of those. Like, I don't think every single EV stock that ran back in January.
But who's going to pick the winner? Not me. Not me.
Probably Warren. Probably maybe Kathy.
Warren? No, Warren. You think Warren Buffett's going to buy an EV stock? Are you out of your mind?
Not now. Well,
are you out of your mind,
Spencer? One of his biggest holdings is in BYD, which is an EV company. Second of all, I think once he is able to identify, like
Warren Buffett loves companies that make money. These EV companies don't make money yet.
Well, like I said, he's a big investor in this BYD EV company, so he's got to believe in it somewhat. Thank you, Chris, backing me up in the chat. so whatever. I'm saying that, like, I think he'll be able to recognize which one of these companies will be able to make a bunch of money. Other emerging markets that I could see coming in the next 20 years, I think there's a lot of things in the medical field that will be big, whether that's telehealth, whether that's and I'm not just talking like biotech companies that make different drugs. I'm saying like companies that will kind of like revolutionize health. So
right. I've already made these calls in my portfolio. I've already made these calls. Okay.
Cannabis. Your big one is cannabis.
This is my portfolio. Okay. Let me make the names bigger so y'all can see. Okay. I've already made these sector. I like making sector wide calls. Okay. I've got cannabis. I've got cybersecurity. I've got 5G. I've got esports. I have a very, very, very small piece of space. I literally have got like, I don't know, probably like 10 shares of space of UFO, right? Very small. Okay. I've got biotech. I've got this SRVR. It's a data center REIT. It's basically just like, it's a REIT that owns data centers and server centers. Okay.
Yeah. Love it. Everyone needs data now, whether you're in the sports gambling industry, whether you're in healthcare, everyone needs data.
Yep. I've got the blockchain ETF, a little bit of that. I've got clean energy, PBD. I've got small cap industrials and these are the calls that I'm making. And for a lot of the year, it's been pretty brutal to be in esports, for example. It's been horrible, but I don't care about this year in esports. So I've made my calls. Cannabis, cybersecurity, esports, 5G, biotech, servers, small cap industrials, and clean energy. That's what I've got.
Christian, there's two BYDs. There's Boyd Gaming, which is what I think you're referring to. There's also someone threw the ticker in the chat. It's on the OTC since it's based out of China. It's like BYDDF, I believe, is a Chinese EV battery maker, or maybe they make cars too. I don't know. Either way, Berkshire and Warren Buffett hold a significant stake in there. So might be one to check out. But Spencer, we are wrapping out of time. I'm going to see if Neil is ready. Shout out Enver. So win a year of Benzinga Pro. Enter to win a year of Benzinga Pro if you sign up for our healthcare conference that is starting on Wednesday. If you go to bzsmallcap.com, you can sign up for free. And enter to win a free year of Benzinga Pro.
Yeah, I have a last thing to plug again, just as a reminder. Check out the Benzinga Moo Moo Trading Competition. AB probably has no idea what this is, but that's okay. He's not paying attention. So click on the link in the description. First place gets 24 shares of NVIDIA for free. Second place gets 12.
Wait,
yeah.
That's a lot of money.
$5,000, man.
Am I allowed to participate?
Yeah, is yes. Click on the link in the description.
I already have some shares of NVIDIA, but I want more.
Open an account of Moo Moo, fund it with $500, and you are eligible to participate in the Moo Moo and Benzinga U.S. paper trading competition. The last day to enter is October 15th, and it ends on the 29th. So the link is in description. It's also in the chat, and don't say I didn't warn you. Because I warned you. There we go. All right. That's a wrap for Power Hour today. They're still green today, everyone. It's a green day.
Peace.